Hey everyone, my name's Caitlin.
I'm Zach.
And welcome to Manipulating the Masses.
Don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You, the people, have the power.
Caitlin.
Yeah, yeah.
We're back again. New format, new life, new season, new feelings.
Yeah.
Everything going pretty well.
New emotions, new socials. Can we pause here? Everyone, we do have our social channels up and running. You can find us on Instagram at Manipulating the Masses Pod, and you can find us on TikTok, same handle, at Manipulating the Masses Pod.
My two absolute favorite channels.
Oh, what's your favorite channel if you had to pick? Facebook?
None of them. I wish social media would die, but that's neither here nor there.
It really isn't. It really isn't here nor there. It's nowhere.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about it a little bit today. And every time we talk about it, I just get...
Talk about what? Social?
I just get upset. Social media. Yes, a little bit is part of this game with Ozempic, which I find very fascinating. I learned a lot putting this together. But in our new format, I have a quick fire question for you, Caitlin, before we get into what's happening this week in advertising. You ready for your quick fire question?
Hit me.
Off the cuff. With body positive ads many brands have been releasing, and it's been a movement, this body positive movement, do you think the pressure for women and men to quote unquote be skinny has actually changed? Do you think the body positive movement has created any or alleviated any pressure of quote unquote being skinny?
I personally think so. But again, I'm not being a female teenager who grew up in the 90s where heroin chic was the look to go after.
Yeah.
The Paris Hiltons, the Nicole Richies, the everyone who was on Us Weekly who was looking very frail and thin, that was the look to be desired. And hence we all grew up with eating disorders. Now, again, I'm not a teenager anymore, and I've obviously overcome any eating dysmorphia that I've had in the past. And same with all, you know, I'm 34 years old. I do feel a lot more comfortable seeing advertisements that are not centering a very, very skinny woman. So I personally do. However, again, it could just be I matured a little bit and I'm just at that age where I'm not trying to fit a certain criteria, but that's my opinion.
That's my quickfire question. I love the body positivity too. I'm all about it. I don't think it's changed much is my initial reaction. We'll get into Ozempic.
I think I'll have some good arguments for this.
I think it'll be a good one. But before we get into the main story, Caitlin, what's been happening in the advertising world?
Well, Zach, you and I quickly talked about this yesterday, and I know you had a lot of opinions on it, so I'm going to bring it up again. This is an advertisement that Apple dropped earlier in this month, so early May, and they just released their new iPad Pro, and the commercial itself was kind of like an industrial-grade press, literally just crushing all of these musical instruments and TV and art and paint cans and record players and typewriters and books and everything that like really signifies art, that is art. And Apple, while Apple meant it to depict kind of like, look at everything that the iPad can do. It's kind of all in one. And now it comes in a sleeker format. It experienced a ton of backlash, especially from the arts industry. And people kind of saw it as a visual representation of what Silicon Valley is literally doing to kind of cultural industries. And I found a quote from Hugh Grant, actually got in the mix. And he said the destruction.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone got in the mix. I actually think like Hollywood took this to heart. And he said, the destruction of the human experience, courtesy of Silicon Valley.
Nah.
Yeah, what did you think? What did you think of the commercial?
Of the specific ad?
Yeah.
It's, I think for me, the outlash is almost, I think they're taking it out. Maybe they broadened it to Silicon Valley because of AI. I think that's where the real anger is like AI can write music, AI can write books, AI, like that's where the real anger is like, it was just a lightning rod for that kind of idea, especially with actors going through the strike and saying, hey, movies can't use AI versions of us to make movies. Like, yeah, that makes sense. That I get the frustration there.
You said that so well. You said what I was thinking and just couldn't articulate it, because in my opinion, I was actually like, I mean, Hugh Grant's quote is like casting a very wide net around the tech industry, crushing cultural industries. And to me, I was like, actually, like, YouTube has given a platform to a lot of artists to get out their music and to get out their art and video and I would argue the opposite. Yeah. So I think you brought up a really great point. It's not necessarily tech. It happens to be AI.
I'm with you there. I got fired up when we were talking about this briefly yesterday was like, I just think tablets are dumb. What a dumb invention. The iPads are selling at a lower and lower rate, so they're trying to push it with new designs. It's a dumb tool. It's an in-between between a laptop and a phone that no real adult actually needs.
And I said to Zach, talk to me when you have kids about how dumb a tablet is.
No. Tablets for kids make so much sense. Yes, I'm on board with that. Like having a tablet for a kid, 100%. That makes sense. It's big, it's durable, like they can do, it's portable enough. But like for an adult, you don't need it. There's nobody that needs a tablet as an adult. It doesn't have the computing power of a laptop or a desktop, nor does it have the mobility of a phone. It lives in this vacant space that's unneeded.
I'm trying to keep my mouth shut right now, but I just can't, because I know we're kind of limited on time for this little segment, this little slot that we have in our new podcast format.
I am going to say
two things, and I agree with you. Tablets are kind of a weird in-between of a laptop and a phone. Like, nobody needs it. I get it. Two arguments is one, travel. Okay. So my laptop,
a $400 tablet for travel.
I'm going to say my laptop is literally 7 pounds. Probably 7 pounds. I'm picking it up right now, trying to guesstimate. Do I want to be carrying a 7 pound laptop when I'm traveling? No, I don't. So it would be nice to carry a tablet with a keyboard on the airplane and still be able to do my work. That's one argument. The second argument is artists, like graphic designers, actually do use it for sketching and, you know, hand drawing logos.
So those are my arguments. Those specific things.
Yeah.
So to go back to Apple's ad, them crushing music and books and all of this stuff into an eye is irrelevant. Just make it a drawing face where artists can come and hand draw it, and something that you can, it doesn't even have a, you have to buy the keyboard as an extra piece. So it doesn't even have a keyboard built in.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Agree to disagree.
We didn't say anything about the marketing of it. Well, we kind of talked about the visual aspect of it. I should say we didn't talk about the target demographic. That's what we didn't get into.
What would you consider the target demographic of that ad?
No. You're spot on. What I meant to say, and maybe I didn't say it correctly, is the ad itself, we're critiquing the visuals as opposed to what the general marketing strategy is of Apple. And for that, they're wrong. They should be targeting children. and logo designers. And then the third one is just people who travel who have a 7 pound laptop. There it is.
Yeah, literally just a travel thing. Yeah, hey, well summarized.
Okay.
I'm okay. Well done, Caitlin. Well done. That's a peek inside our leadership meetings where Caitlin and I say the same thing and then go, and then we're like, oh, wait, we realize. Yeah, okay. We just come at it from two different angles.
We're
in agreement there.
The left side and the right side of the brain. At work.
Exactly. I don't know which one I am, but I'm only one side of it.
Yeah.
All right, we ready. Main story. Main story. We're going to be talking about the marketing of Ozempic. But before I get into the story, I love my five fantastic facts that I'm going to give you. Fact number one, Caitlin, it is estimated that 15.5 million Americans have used Ozempic or similar drugs to lose weight. 15.5 million. In the last 3 months of 2022, in just 3 months of 2022, when it started, the trend started to pick up, healthcare providers wrote a whopping 9 million prescriptions for Ozempic and similar drugs. In 3 months, 9 million Ozempic prescriptions were written.
I have so many questions, and one of them being like, hasn't Ozempic been around forever, and why did it just start gaining traction in this weight loss world? Like, has it not been around forever?
It has not been around forever. It was actually released to the public in 2018. Pretty new-ish.
It is pretty new.
Yeah, pretty new-ish.
So it wasn't that long before we all figured out we can lose weight on it. Okay.
Nope. Like any prescription, what I think of is Viagra was released as a heart pressure medication, and we all know what it's used for now. So it's pretty common.
It's the new Adderall. That's how I would see it.
I would say so. And then just as an example, released in 2018, but between 2020 and 2023, last year, prescriptions have increased 300%. So they have essentially quadrupled in over 3 years.
I'm not surprised.
On the flip side of it, in America, just over 2 in 5 adults suffer from obesity. So that is 30 to 40%, almost half, just under half of people suffer from obesity. And then Ozempic's, my last fantastical fact, Ozempic's manufacturer Novo Nordisk, based out of Denmark, has released a statement that due to such high demand, there will be an Ozempic shortage throughout 2024 with no real end in sight.
Well, I thought that there was already an Ozempic shortage. Like, I think that was why it got so much attention, right? Because people were using the Kardashians of the world were using it for weight loss. And then people with actual diabetes were like, what the fuck? I can't get my diabetes medication, which actually you might get into this. But what does it actually do for diabetes?
I will get into that. What a great question. Yeah, I'll talk about the history, kind of what it does. And then more importantly, how it became so popular and what marketing tactics did Ozempic use directly and indirectly to make it one of the highest demanded products. Probably it's on the road to be one of the most profitable drugs ever created in the pharmaceutical industry. It's on that path right now.
You know what I'm scrunching my face at, right?
You think OxyContin?
Yes.
OxyContin, when you spread it out longer, but if you just look recently, if you look at the recent data, Ozempic is on a much higher path than
And I do OxyContin just want to say, OxyContin, we didn't really see the downside of OxyContin for a long time. Like, it didn't really become an epidemic for 10 years.
Yep, we're at the inception of this this weird wave.
So in 10 years, we might see the next drug epidemic. That's all I'm saying.
Possible, very possible. Because like OxyContin, because of such high demand for this product, a lot of offshoots, competitors, knockoffs are coming onto the market that are basically just generic offshoot, whatever it might be, because there is such a high demand. Are you ready? So my first kind of section of this, just to broaden it out, is called Hollywood's Worst Kept Secret. So really taking a look at why we're covering it, why it's become such a mainstay in pop culture. Caitlin, you know we've covered this multiple times. Hollywood's influence is nothing new. And what I found is, James Dean and Marlon Brando back in the day, they actually inspired t-shirts. They inspired people to just wear t-shirts. It wasn't really a fashion thing before. The white tee, yeah, people just, the t-shirt in and of itself was not a thing in fashion. And then Marlon Brando in Streetcar Named Desire and James Dean in Rebel Without a Cause were seen wearing just white t-shirts. And all of a sudden, t-shirts became in high demand. Hollywood has a big influence. I also put Marilyn Monroe kept hairdressers across the country booked and busy throughout her time as well. And now the likes, and I'm going to rattle these off, now the likes of Gwyneth Paltrow, Ryan Reynolds, Jennifer Aniston, Miles Teller, and Selena Gomez, just to name a few, have used their on-screen influence to launch companies, entire companies.
What's Miles Teller?
Who is Miles Teller?
Sorry.
Not Teller. What is a Miles? What a philosophical question.
What is a Miles Teller? What is Miles Teller's company?
It's a long drink. It's a Finnish gin and grapefruit alcoholic beverage.
God, that's gonna
very
be
good.
My next.
I enjoy it.
That's going to be my next argument. I'm always like getting riled up about leggings. Like, we have too many leggings. Now I'm going to be like, we have too many alcohol companies. Like, stop making alcohol companies.
And a quick tangent of that, Sunny D released an alcoholic beverage.
Oh,
I don't know if you knew that.
No way.
That is the line that crossed for me. I'm like, why is Sunny D?
Am I more shocked that Sunny D is still in business? Or am I more shocked that they released an alcohol company? I don't know.
This is America. Offshoot concentrate drinks are never going to go out of business. But yeah, why they released an alcoholic beverage? Beyond me, but they did. So with these actors and specifically Hollywood, big stars starting their own brand, what happens when these same type of celebrities use their influence to drive demand for a life-saving medical product? The people, like you mentioned, people with diabetes need these, and it's not being used for that. And that's why we're currently seeing the rapidly increasing popularity of Ozempic, which has been shown, for those who don't know, shown to rapidly and easily help people lose weight. That's been a side effect of Ozempic. It's been proven. And now celebrities are creating this high demand. And let me list you, Caitlin, all of the celebrities who have publicly either promoted or admitted to using Ozempic. Elon Musk, Oprah Winfrey, Chelsea Handler,
yep.
Khloe Kardashian,
yep.
Amy Schumer,
yep.
Charles Barkley, Raven Simone, Kyle Richards from Housewives fame, Julia Fox, who you'll know, Sophie Turner, who was in Game of Thrones.
She does not need Ozempic. Actually, I shouldn't say that.
None of them do. And these are just a few examples. These are like major celebrities. This isn't even counting like online personalities. And like, these are just a few major people. And I have a question for like, isn't it interesting like that this particular product has, it runs the gambit of pop culture, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For you, like Khloe Kardashian, reality star.
Yeah, tech.
Like, Elon.
Tech. Yeah.
Elon. Charles Barkley, who's
and
an old basketball player. Sports.
Different sexes, too. Know. Like, you have males and females. It's wow. There's no real target demographic. This is truly a company that's like, I want to target everybody. And you're like, okay, this would actually work.
Yeah. Well, to Novo Nordisk's credit, they're not targeting these people. These are just people going out and saying, I use it. And I love it.
Yeah.
This is like unpaid testimonials, which has its own ramifications. I guess like, my question to you for the, at the end of this intro is, you as a woman ingrained in pop culture and social media, what can you tell me that you've seen on your feed or taking part in conversations around Ozempic? What have you seen any conversations? Have you seen anybody talking about it? Like what, your and I feeds are very different. So I'm curious, have you noticed this? Has there been conversation around it?
Not on a social media level. I think a bigger media level, it's always kind of been seen. I've always just heard about it in passing as a joke. Like Chelsea Handler, as an example, would kind of poke fun of people using Ozempic or herself using Ozempic. So that's actually where I first heard about it, was just in passing as a joke.
That's fair. So you're not in that area. Our feeds don't align. I did not know about it. I just kind of, as you said, just kind of subtle references to it.
Subtle references, yeah.
Yeah,
same.
Like it wasn't. So that's why I call it Hollywood's worst kept secret, because there is so many people using it. And I feel like the average, maybe you and me who aren't like in this game are of like, you know, weight loss journeys or getting fit or whatever. Like that's not part of our feed.
Yeah.
We just kind of hear whispers here and there.
I haven't, that's all to say that I haven't heard of any like regular people beyond celebrity level using Ozempic.
Well, I think there's a reason for that too.
Well, I was going to say, it kind of feels like you go to an underground doctor's office and you're just like, hey, can you write me a script for, I'll take one of Adderall, Vyvanse, and Ozempic, please. And he just writes it. Oh, and then maybe like some Oxy, you know, whatever. Just the whole pad.
Is this a Caitlin wish list or?
Yeah, it kind of feels very underground and dirty. Like people can't.
Yeah.
You can't really get this unless you know somebody who's willing to write you a script. Because like doctors shouldn't be writing scripts for weight loss, correct?
Yeah, yeah. I think you nailed it. The comparison I thought of was like when medical marijuana first came out. And it was like, oh, you have to get a prescription.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go. There's like doctors that exclusively just write prescriptions for medical marijuana. Like it feels the same type of thing.
It does.
You got to know a doctor. The doctor just doesn't give a shit. Just writes it.
You have to tell him you have some sort of back pain and you'll get it.
Yeah. But this one's diabetes. So right. I think it's a little bit different, but there is like a way to do it. So that's kind of where we're at and what's happening. So let's draw all the way back to the beginning, the inception of Ozempic. I have this title called The Real Lizard People? ? And I'll explain why. So it is important for, and it's just important for us to start here. I'd like to just get a foundation of how this came to be. What was the intended use of this? Why were they doing this and researching this? So we can understand how it's been twisted and manipulated. There's my one time using the word, naming the podcast, manipulated to what it is today. So Ozempic was originally released, as we alluded to help those diagnosed with diabetes. It was actually discovered in 1984. It wasn't released as a drug until 2018. But in 1984, a doctor by the name Dr. Daniel Drucker, which I included because you know how I love alliteration, man. Dr. Daniel Drucker, he's an endocrinologist from the University of Toronto. The source of Ozempic was fascinating to me. Scientists worldwide, let me bring you back to 1984, Caitlin. Scientists worldwide were trying to solve this issue with diabetes, right? We as humans can eat sugar all day long and it's, you know, put into our bloodstream and we get a sugar high, but like it's all waved out in the end. The problem with people with diabetes where they struggle to regulate and stabilize their blood sugar levels is if you inject sugar into the bloodstream, it goes haywire. Like we don't know how to handle it. So it's this kind of balance of like, how do you stabilize blood pressure through injectables? Because that's the fastest way to stabilize, because this is a life or death situation for people with diabetes. You can't just take it orally and let it metabolize naturally. Like they need it quickly. How do you do that without sending chaos into the bloodstream? So this Dr. Drucker had this interesting idea. He found that there's a lizard in the southwest of America called the Gila. I'm not sure how they pronounce it, but the Gila monster is this lizard that lives. Do you know?
Yeah.
How it's properly pronounced?
Gila.
You live in the Southwest.
Gila? No, I don't.
Nevada's the Southwest-ish, you know? Like,
Gila? Yeah, I've heard of this Gila monster.
Yeah, Gila monster. And it's a venomous lizard that kind of lives throughout the Southwest and northern Mexico. But this particular lizard has the unique ability to endure long periods without food. The lizard can actually slow down its own metabolism and sustain stable blood sugar levels without compromising its health. So it actually has this innate ability to do this. So Dr. Drucker acquired a Gila lizard from the Utah Zoo, and he studied the animal, and he found this key protein called extendin 4, which is a hilarious name for like extendin 4, and it extends your metabolism, brother.
If you think it's hilarious, I'll let you have it.
Thank you. Because like usually they come up with like weird names. It's like amidextrotamophen 8, but this one they're just like extendin 4.
That sounds a lot like amidextrous, whatever you just said the first one. Like they're
yeah.
Not funny to me, but I'll let you have it.
Science humor, everybody, science humor, but fair enough, fair enough. So and so that extended four was extracted and it was turned into the first diabetes treatment called GLP-1. And it does exactly this. So your question about what Ozempic does, it actually slows down the metabolism. It regulates blood sugar. But the difference is it can be injected directly into someone's bloodstream without having it go nuts or just kind of like overwhelming the system. It's a way for people to regulate their blood sugar levels and drop even lower cholesterol and help with cardiovascular stuff as well. Caitlin, my question for you is, we covered pharmaceutical marketing tactics in the past. We have an episode. Mm-hmm. If you haven't listened, go listen. Can you remember the typical tactics the pharmaceutical companies use when promoting a drug?
Yes. In the Purdue Pharma example with OxyContin, they went directly to the doctors themselves and also kind of finagled the truth, little white lie, basically said that this is non-addictive and everybody has pain and whoever has pain, you should prescribe this to them. And they went to the doctors themselves and did they give them a kickback? I think maybe something like that.
Sideways kickback. They'd take them on golf trips. They'd pay for vacations. They'd also like repeatedly buy lunch for the entire office from the front staff to the, you know, nurse practitioners and everything. They would just like bring in food all the time. So it wasn't direct kickbacks, but it was like, you keep selling, I'll keep giving you nice things.
Oh, surprise. There's a Ferrari parked in the front yard.
Yeah. And it's yours. Subscribe more, prescribe more OxyContin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just going to the doctor directly.
Yeah. So, and if you remember, that has since been banned.
They
passed a law that you cannot do that anymore.
Okay.
At least overtly. I'm sure there's ways they escape around it. So then pharmaceutical companies are forced to go direct to consumer. They're forced, instead of like going to the doctors, they're forced to go directly to us, the consumer base.
Oh, the ask your doctor thing. Here's a commercial for you and ask your doctor if this is right for you.
The most brilliant line in all of advertising, in my opinion, the ask the doctor, which is it's on its surface so dumb, in my opinion. Like, the doctors go to years of medical school. They train. They pass tests. They go through exams. They study their ass off to be a doctor, to prescribe you and get you symptoms. But the pharmaceutical companies are like, nope, fuck that. I want you to remember this name and ask your doctor if you can have it. Brilliantly stupid. Unsurprisingly, when Ozempic launched in 2018, that's exactly what they did. I remember like watching soccer games or more commonly like late night TV, and I would hear this catchy, irresistible, can't get out of your head jingle. Caitlin, do you remember the jingle?
Okay, I thought I did, but actually the more that I have it sounding in my head, it's actually not the Ozempic jingle. So I thought it was, oh, 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 Ozempic, and it's not, because that's O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what Ozempic is.
But you are so close. You're so close. you really are. I'm not gonna let you off the hook. Like, it, just think for a second. You are so close. You have the words right. You have the tune wrong. You have the words right.
No, I can't. I can't. I can't. There's too much pressure. Tell me.
Okay. Okay. Oh, 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 Ozempic.
That's exactly the tune that I just sang.
No, no, no. I think you got in my head. I think you got in my head. I got to sing the act. Oh, oh, oh,
yes,
Ozempic.
Yes,
there you go.
Yes.
I have to sing the actual song in my head.
Yes.
That's what I said. It's so close. It's so close. We were right there. We were right there. Yes, they came up with that catchy little jingle, you know, and it's obviously a play on an actual song. Oh, 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 it's Magic by Pilot, made in 1974. I had to sing like the actual song in my head to get it.
God, yeah. When you said actual song, I was like, I don't know what he's talking about. So,
yeah,
obviously,
it's like, oh,
it was based
on. Oh, it's magic, you know.
Na, 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 na.
Okay. Yeah. So sorry for that, as our listeners, if you're listening to this, sorry you had to endure my singing.
I am not sorry. Say sorry for yourself.
No, not for Caitlin. I said my singing, specifically my singing.
I do not say sorry.
Yeah. and we've kind of covered this in the past, but like, these jingles are a home run for pharmaceuticals. You know, beyond their call to action, these Ozempic commercials ended with "Ask your doctor if Ozempic is right for you." Why not? Why do you think jingles work so well, Caitlin? Like, there's science behind this. So why do you think there's other ones? There's other, if you look at modern pharmaceutical ads, like especially recent ones, they're all going song. All of them are like putting the name of their drug to a song. Mm-hmm. And almost every single one is doing this.
But can I go back for just a second? If I remember correctly, like Ozempic, I mean, obviously Ozempic is not marketed as a weight loss drug, correct? It is marketed as a diabetes drug. So those commercials weren't saying like, hey, this is weight loss drug, were they?
No. So they would say, let me jump.
Side effects could include a snatched waist.
Yeah, so there.
That
was a good one. That was a good one. I was trying to find my place so I could give you what they said, but that was amazing. I was late to the game, but that was amazing. Well done, Caitlin. So the actual messaging in the ads, in even the ads today, you're right. They focus on the benefits of diabetes. Here are the benefits they list. They say the benefits are lowering your A1C, which I'm sure people with diabetes know what that is. I don't know what that is. And then they say lowering your risk of cardiovascular events like stroke and heart attacks. And then they slide in right at the end, and you may lose weight. And then it's on to the side effects. So all of them I watched, it's like just a single line in there. The bulk of it is lowering your A1C. It helps with type 2 diabetes. You know, it could lower your risk of cardiovascular health events. And you could lose weight. Side effects may include, you know, like, and that's the structure of these ads. So it's not like they don't address it. It's just very, very, very subtle. So I want to backtrack, because I do find, like, why do you think all of these pharmaceutical companies are doing jingles? Why do you think that is? Like, do you have any thoughts?
No, I have no thoughts.
Well, let me give you the answer.
Yeah, give me the answer.
Because there has been scientific research behind the catchiness and the memorability of a jingle. So here's where the two come together. Like, for example, I can't remember people's names, but you give me a music to any 2000s hip hop R&B song, I'll be able to sing the lyrics. Lyrics stick in our head. It's the rhythm. It's the repeatability. It's rhyme. All of this stuff. The rhyme, it just sticks in our head. So this is where it comes together for me, is if they're asking you to ask your doctor if this is right for you, you better goddamn remember the name of the drug that you're asking for. So they're just piecing these two things together. They're getting you to ask your doctor, and then they're like, put it in a song so they remember the name of this drug. It's frustratingly brilliant. As far as an ad, like, I love it on the advertiser side, brilliant. I hate it on the person side, because it is just fucking chaos.
Yeah, honestly, that was going to be my guess, but it seemed too obvious. Like, yes, jingles are backed by science.
But I just think it's just good to reinforce it. Like, they're doing this because now almost all of them are doing it. The one that pops into my head is Sky Rizzy. Nothing is everything. And then they have another one that's like, control is everything. Like, it's two different things, but they do the same jingle.
Do you know what Sky Rizzy does?
No idea.
But you might want to ask your doctor about it.
Yeah, no. Because I'm sure if it's talking about the benefits, and like, because there's that benefit section of every single pharmaceutical ad where it's like, this is a treatment for people suffering from blah, 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 or diagnosed with blah, 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 and it does this, and it does that, and then it goes into the jingle.
Let me ask you, though, if you saw the Ozempic ad and you were looking to lose weight, would you actually ask your doctor about it? Because the first two bullet points are, can lower your A1C. And like, you're like, what the fuck is A1C? Can decrease your chance of heart attack. And then it's like, oh, and may help you lose weight. It's like, well, I don't need those first two bullets. Am I really going to go ask my doctor about this product that says may help you lose weight?
God damn it, Caitlin. It's like we've done 50 episodes of this shit. God damn, did you set me up? My question for you was exactly that. If they're not promoting the weight loss benefit overtly and getting in there, then where did this demand
for
the miracle weight loss drug come from?
Yeah. Because I wouldn't have asked.
Yeah. Like it's, and you're not really going to pay attention, right? We tune out commercials most of the time,
and especially ones
that start with like, are you suffering from type 2 diabetes? Nope, that's not me.
Yes.
I'm going to go.
Yes. If I'm not actively looking for a drug, then that drug is not going to get my attention.
Exactly. So how did this happen? And I'll give you two answers: social media and celebrity testimonials. Like most things that go horribly, horribly wrong in our modern society, the twisting, the manipulation of the benefits of Ozempic and similar brands can be traced back to influencers and celebrities. My two least favorite people in this world. We all know about like celebrity endorsements, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, clearly celebrities being paid to promote a product, right? And we've talked about this a little bit, right? Like it's not really, it doesn't have the same hit that it did back in like the 80s and the 90s. Like we're kind of like numb to it. We're clearly like, this person's paid. Mm-hmm. The difference with Ozempic is, and we can talk about this, that we know in the marketing ends, is that these are genuine testimonials from people with giant platforms. Ozempic is not paying Oprah Winfrey to cover their product and say she uses their product. She's genuinely like, I used Ozempic and I lost X number of pounds and it's really helped in my weight loss journey.
I also just want to clarify, because I thought that it was like Hollywood's dirty little secret. I thought they kept it behind closed doors and was like, look, I did all this with a healthy eating and workout routine. Like, I look great. And then all of a sudden somebody outed them and was like, no, Ozempic has taken Hollywood by storm. And then people started coming clean about it. Were celebrities giving like quote unquote testimonials about this? Because I was thinking it was kind of like their dirty little secret. Did they really want to admit to using a drug versus like, oh, I did this with healthy eating and workout?
Yeah, no, I think some people are layering in, like the hiding it, but there's a lot of big players like the ones I mentioned. Elon Musk was directly tweeted at or X'd at, whatever the fuck it is now. This person, this fangirl was like, what's your secret? You look so healthy and ripped and fit. Like, is it exercise? Is it healthy eating? And he responded, fasting and Wegovy, which is a competitor of Ozempic. So that's all he did. Some big players are just like, yeah, it's used by everybody. I use it. You know, other people are keeping it under the radar. And some big players are just like, yeah, I use it. It helped. It was great. That's an endorsement. Not being paid, but it almost has more power of like, we'll call it a testimonial. And this is where I want to toss to you, because we work with a lot of clients and we know the impact of testimonials, right? Unpaid people just giving peer reviews, right? So can you talk to me a little bit about like how we prioritize testimonials in some of our campaigns and like, where do you put them on the website? How do you leverage them?
Actually, can I ask you another question? It's almost kind of like these A-list celebrities, or like Elon Musk as an example. It's like, oh, what do you do to look so good? He kind of like throws it in your face. Like, it's almost like this drug that nobody can really get their hands on, but I have it. So yeah, I use Ozempic, and it's more of like an elitist thing maybe, because they know that you can't just walk in and quote unquote ask your doctor about it. They're not just going to write you a script. That also brings me back to like the whole underground doctor script writing and your medical marijuana thing. It's kind of like, if you know a person, they'll write you a script. So it almost feels like very elitist.
Well, I think to the elitist point is, you can get Wegovy and Ozempic, which is like, Wegovy, just for people, is like the a competitor of Ozempic that was specifically passed for weight loss. So it does the same thing, but it's like it's made for weight loss, right? So there's new niches coming out.
So is there a shortage of Wegovy?
Not currently. But the issue is, back to the elitist sense of this, is you can, like, Wegovy can be prescribed and covered by insurance if you are obese. If your doctor comes in and says you suffer from obesity, there are health concerns here, and then insurance will cover it. For Ozempic, you can only, insurance will only cover it if you have type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
Right? So if you want to use it for weight loss, you can buy these things out of your own pocket at full price, which Ozempic is at $936 a month. You have to always take it if you want to see the benefit. So that's almost a grand a month. And Wegovy is actually at like $1,350 a month.
Damn.
So you're paying thousands and thousands of dollars every month to keep this, to sustain the benefits of taking these.
But also obese is like, if obese is a specific medical condition. I'm sure that there's people who are not obese. I know that there's people who are not obese. So do they not get is it not covered by insurance if you're not quote unquote obese?
Nope. Yep. Not covered by insurance. So that's the elitist part, because yes, Elon Musk can pay $1,350 a month. No problem.
Yeah.
Right. Oprah Winfrey can pay $1,350 a month. You don't need a prescription to get this stuff. So that's kind of layering in this elitist aspect of it.
Yeah.
And I want to get back to my quick fire question with that too, is this is my issue with these body positivity movement, because all of these LA people, Hollywood people are like, body positive, we should celebrate everybody and everybody's fame. But as soon as there's a fast track, as soon as there's a way to skip it, to lose weight, all of them take it. Single person takes it.
I agree.
And that's my issue.
I think you're grouping in Hollywood. I don't think Hollywood has ever been behind body positivity.
Nonsense. I think they are some of the biggest advocates of body positivity.
Who?
I don't like to call out specific. Rebel Wilson comes to mind. I don't like calling out specific. You know who Rebel Wilson is, right?
I do. Okay, let me finish my thought. And I apologize. I asked you the question in the middle of my thought. But I'm going to stand by. I'm going to double down on the fact that I don't think Hollywood is the proponent for body positivity. I think it's certain brands. So like certain yoga brands come to mind. Like there's a company called Girlfriend Leggings, and they do I hate to use this company, people are gonna roast me, but Victoria's Secret, like their new kind of brand is supposed to be body inclusive, and they've kind of expanded their sizes, and they're, you know, B2C. Hollywood is not selling anything. The brands are the ones selling the image, selling the dream. There's no specific
selling
person
the body positivity.
Selling the body positivity. The brands are. But Hollywood is still standing by, like, I'm going to do whatever I can to get skinny. And Rebel Wilson, that's a good example, is like, I never saw her as somebody who is body positive at all. I saw her as someone who was heavier set, and that's just how she was. But then as soon as she was given the opportunity, I don't know. Is she on Ozempic?
I don't know. But she
lost a ton of weight. So that tells me that she's not body positive. That tells me that she was not secure in her own frame, and she felt the pressure to lose a bunch of weight. Same with Adele is a great example. It's like, as soon as Adele lost weight, everyone was like, oh, this girl is banging now. And it's like, what the fuck? She's always been banging. She's just like, she was 30 pounds heavier.
I agree. I've always been wildly attracted to Adele. So
weird.
So I have been. I will openly admit that. But to your point. I think you make a good. The brands are pushing body positivity, and then my counterpoint to that is that it's not just Hollywood demand that we have a shortage of Ozempic. Right. It starts with Hollywood, but there's a demand across the country from all sects of people wanting this fast track weight loss drug. So my point is that body positivity, while good mission, has made little or no impact in our society.
Ooh, that hits.
That's my point.
So people can get behind it if there's no real solution. And they're like, okay, this is how I am. Like, cool, all these brands are promoting my type of body. But as soon as I'm given the golden ticket to look like a Gisele Bündchen, then I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
So I actually don't have security or body pot. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That's my biggest point is this body positive movement, which I love. I'm behind. I think it is great. I think it's all a facade. Based on this reaction to Ozempic, right?
Yeah.
Like, truly, we can celebrate everyone. But as soon as there's a ticket out, like you said, a golden ticket out of that, accepting who you are and changing your and losing.
Yes.
But my overall point is, like, I celebrate it. I think it's good. I love the body positive movement. Where I get discouraged is that I don't think it's really had an impact, right? I don't think it's really changed people accepting their bodies. And so if showcasing women in different, and even men, showcasing different people in different body types in a brand is not having the result of the real result that these brands are going for, are people being like accepting who they are and making clothes that fit them as they are. We need to do something different, because it's important for people to feel comfortable in their own skin. And whatever's happening now, I think this is pulled back the veil that's not really working.
Yeah. So maybe I just use my own experience as an example, where it's like, I do feel more positive in confident, secure in who I am today than I did when I was a teenager. But truly, maybe that just comes with age. Like, of course you're going to be more secure as a 30-year-old, because you've lived a life. As a teenager, you are looking to Us Weekly to tell you how to behave, what to look like, who to idolize. And at 30, you're able to make those own decisions. So
I don't know. I got to push back. I think the demand for this Ozempic, not as a diabetes drug,
it's coming from 30-year-olds.
No. It's coming from 30-year-olds. Yeah. It's coming from this age demographic.
I am just the worst fucking example.
You've just lived a life, Caitlin. You've lived a life. And I think that has brought you insights that many people don't have. I'm just trying to be very sensitive here, because I don't like calling people out, but like, it is 30s women that are driving this surplus in demand, even 40s women, like that kind of like adult women, because in reality, as any person, male, female, whatever, matures, the 30, 40 is when you start, like, your metabolism slows down. It's not as easy to get weight off as it is to put stuff on, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just kind of the natural evolution of aging. Mm-hmm. So this is what's driving demand, is they want to be body positive and everybody being body positive, but they also want Ozempic.
You're so right. I'm just like shocked that this conversation about women's bodies, you have the upper hand on me. And I appreciate you pushing back. I do. I appreciate you pushing back on me, because it's made me like reflect a little bit on my own experience, I guess. And maybe I just feel very lucky. I feel very lucky that I have gotten to a place where I'm confident and secure. And maybe that's eye-opening to me, that not everybody has gotten to that place. Of course, not everyone has gotten to a place where you can feel that way. And I should have known that.
No, you're good. I
appreciate you.
Appreciate you right back. Thank you. So let's, I think, so celebrities are kind of the inception point of this. They have a lot of, let's say, the target followers for Ozempic as a weight loss. Oprah Winfrey is popular with middle-aged women, the people demanding Ozempic, a lot of the high demand of Ozempic. Elon Musk, I wrote, is popular with douchebags, who also love to, look fit and be ripped, lose that extra pounds. Oh, I'm not done. Khloe Kardashian is, popular with idiots. So she admitting to use the drug. And Charles Barkley is popular with like the dumb jocks that you grew up with in high school. So all people very prone. Very.
Is there anybody smart taking Ozempic? Nobody, like the smart characters were not typecast in your little groupings.
Let me think. I'm not calling anybody out. I am aware of people who have used Ozempic in my personal life. I wouldn't trust them on my trivia team. That's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to say. I would feel like they would be a detriment on my pub trivia team.
Oh,
is all
my
I'm going to say. So we have that kind of baseline of appealing. I just think, in all joking aside, I think anybody that takes a celebrity endorsement and embraces that in their own life doesn't have a secure sense of themselves, right? Like, that's just kind of like these celebrities are popular. Yeah. And then if you're like Oprah Winfrey's doing it, I want to do it. You don't really have your self-identity locked in. That's the nicest way I can put it.
Yeah.
Now we have the real celebrity layer. Now let's layer in the pseudo celebrities, specifically the people on TikTok. There has been a movement on TikTok. Thousands of people have been sharing their quote unquote Ozempic journey and getting tons of engagement shares. It is now a full-on cluster. It is a full-on kind of like self-fulfilling feed. And what always happens on social media, these groups of influencers on their Ozempic journey follow each other, post their Ozempic journey stuff. And almost every I could only stand about 15. I'm not gonna lie to you, Caitlin, but I went through 15 of these like Ozempic journey posts with different influencers. And every single comment section is filled with other Ozempic journey influencers hyping each other up, saying, great job, you look great, whatever, so beautiful.
How can you hype somebody up on something that they are not doing? Like, they are not doing anything. The drug is doing it all. It's not like, hey, great workout, great job running that 5 miles. It's like, great job. How do you even take Ozempic? Do you swallow it or do you shoot yourself?
It's an injection. It's an injection. Shoot yourself is one way to put it. It's an injection you put into your stomach.
You're not running a 5K. You're injecting yourself. How do you hype each other up for that? This feels very MLM-y to me. Don't you get?
Yes.
Do you get girl boss vibes? I'm getting girl boss vibes.
Yes. Oh, that's such a good way to put it. Yes. 100%. I'm getting that.
Gross.
And don't ask me to explain the psychological manner of TikTok, why people are hyping up people for anything. There's Tide Pod challenges. People are hyping each other up. Oh, bro, great. Don't fucking ask me to do that. Why are they hyping up? I don't know. They're broken people.
At least it's a challenge. At least that one was a challenge. This is like you are.
To be fair, some would argue acquiring a Ozempic now and injecting things into your bed, that's a challenge.
True. So if you hype yourself up on like getting that script, that seems like it's legit. But
they are like hyping themselves each other up and like being like, oh, you look great, keep going, you know, blah 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 blah. So, but this is where I think where we come in as marketers, right? So Caitlin, as a marketer, why do you think these other influencers are so quick to enter the comment section and hype each other up on other influencers' posts?
Oh, it's all about engagement. I mean, you're going to get visibility, so you're going to get more followers. And so people are just, what, clout chasing?
Yep, they're clout chasing. So
it's,
go ahead.
Can I just like use Botox as an example? Like, it is the same thing if somebody is like, oh, I went to the esthetician, I got Botox in my forehead, and people are like, yeah, way to get Botox. Like, no, I didn't anti-age by myself. Like, I put a drug into my forehead, and like, I don't deserve the hype up. Like, I paid somebody to do this for me. There's nothing partook in. Like, I didn't get rid of my wrinkles myself. I didn't age backwards because I tried really hard. Like, you know what? Isn't that the same? It's the same.
You're so right. I don't get it though. I don't get it. But do they get the same like feedback of like, oh, you look so great?
It's just kind of, it's no, there's nothing like, I don't, nobody's like actively talking about their Botox journey, right? It's just,
but
like
they are saying like, you look beautiful, like, oh, your skin looks great. Isn't that kind of like a comment like that you don't receive maybe from other people? You know, you're like oh yeah, Botox, yeah, I'm gonna keep getting it because I'm getting this validation. Not directly, hey. The hype-up questions, to be fair, aren't like, hey, your Ozempic stuff looks great. It's more like, looking so fit, girl. Oh, those abs, you know, like, it's that type of stuff.
Okay.
You know,
and then,
so isn't it the same?
Did you say you have to continue taking it? So is this like a lifelong journey? Or else they're just going to gain all that weight back?
Unless they implement diet and exercise in a rigorous way to keep it off.
Okay.
But yes, in the benefits of Ozempic and other competitors are not permanent, because basically it just stiffens your stomach, so you just.
Well, I was gonna say like any fad diet, like the Atkins diet. It's like, yeah, not eating carbs isn't totally sustainable for your entire life. You're gonna lose all this weight at the beginning, but as soon as you go back to a realistic diet and a realistic lifestyle, it's, unless you never go back to a realistic lifestyle, in which case you're driving yourself insane.
Or unless you implement a very rigorous fitness routine and doing the things that you should have been doing prior to taking Ozempic.
Yeah, and this is a Kickstarter.
Healthy, exercise. Yeah. I get it as a Kickstarter. I mean, I'm not shitting on people that do it.
Me neither.
At the end of the day.
Me neither.
I do think there's a problem because it is in such high demand. And now we're kind of steering into the next phase of it, to your point, where because demand is so high and supply is limited, we're starting to see the dark side a little bit. It's starting to creep through the surface. Let me give you an example. Earlier this month, this happened this month in May, a TikTok influencer was arrested for peddling Ozempic and other, well, offshoot Ozempic and other bacteria-tainted weight loss drugs to her followers. You know, she's 36 years old, to your point of target demographic. She's 36 years old. She went, took a trip to Central and South America, obtained this kind of off-brand generic stuff that was supposed to act like Ozempic and other similar drugs, and then turned her TikTok channel into like a similar TikTok Ozempic journey. She would put them in Ozempic packaging, so she'd show Ozempic, you know, show it, inject it, and then she would actually post her phone number on the TikTok ad and said, if you want some of these, text me. And she made quite a bit of sales from that. And then what happened was, one person took this that they know of. This, again, just came out earlier this month. They're looking for more people. But one person suffered like severe lesions, bad things, because they tested this one that this lady got. And it was just all of this bad bacteria in there. So we're starting to see like, it's the same thing when demand gets outrageous, but supply can't keep up.
There's a black market that
fills the void. And we're starting to see that.
So question, was she arrested because it was filled with bacteria, or was she arrested because she's peddling Ozempic?
She's arrested because she is not a licensed doctor that can prescribe.
Gotcha.
Drugs.
I just think it's so bold for her to put, like, for her to create a social media page. Like, that is so fucking bold. It's like, are crack dealers doing the same thing? Like, that is the same thing. That is the same situation. If you want crack, here's my phone number.
I think there's probably something out there, but I do think the straw that broke the camel's back is she did sell to a undercover agent. So it's like they have to get her actually selling to people. And it's the same thing with everything. Like she's posting it everywhere, but an undercover agent was like, yeah, sell me some. And then she sold them to him. So that's what's going to get you. So it's this Ozempic social hub of people just like promoting it, giving instructional videos of how to use it, how to procure it, how to find doctors that do it. Like it's a whole cult following now. And as a result of this, the black market has filled that void, but it's starting to be filled again by other competition. Because as I stated at the beginning, Ozempic and this type of drug is well on its way to becoming one of the most profitable drugs ever created. So there is a gold rush right now because it is in such high demand. So Ozempic, and this is our last section before we build the campaign. The Ozempic was made in 2018. It was FDA approved for diabetes. I mentioned in 2021, the FDA approved Wegovy for weight loss, specifically for obesity. We talked about the pricing already. This is only if you are obese. Is it covered by insurance? Otherwise, it's $13.50 a month. With this massive gold rush, almost every single other pharmaceutical like developer company out there is releasing their own version of Ozempic. And each have their like own niche market. So let me just rattle off a few. So they have Rybelsus, which their market is, this is taken orally, not injected. So that's their kind of trademark thing. Trulicity, which works the same as Ozempic, but has been proven to be less effective. So kind of an off brand. Mounjaro, which has weight loss benefits, but does not have the cardiovascular benefits that Ozempic has. The one specific to weight loss, there's Saxenda, S-A-X-E-N-D-A, Saxenda? Where they come up with these names, I don't know.
Honestly.
It's like they just bundled up a Scrabble thing. They're like, what are we going to call this drug? And just threw out letters. And then they were like, let's see what
letter vomit.
The difference with whatever the one, I don't want to say it again, it is a daily injectable. So all the other ones are weekly. This one's you have to do it every single day. Zepbound, which is, again, weight loss, no cardiovascular benefits. And then let me just list off the other ones that have just jumped on the scene. Dulaglutide, Metformin, Victoza, Tirzepatide, Byetta, and Lumalite. Are all other ones that have recently.
You could have just said six have hopped on the scene instead of listing.
Nope, I wanted to emphasize my point of how ridiculous these names are. And then I just did a simple Google search of like competitors of Ozempic, and there are even more of them like bidding on that keyword as far as marketing goes. Like such a wave of search. People are paying money to be listed at the top of Google search results to try to get your money. Cocaine.com. There was one that was really sketchy that just said pharmaceutical site. It didn't have a brand. It didn't have anything. It was just like pharmaceutical. So I was like, that one feels
Silk Roady.
I didn't click into that one. Yeah. But there's Joy, J-O-I, Ivim, and Jardinace that are literally running paid campaigns to take this Ozempic money.
Can all of these drugs that are coming out be useful to diabetes? Can diabetes patients... What?
A few of them, no. I think one or two of them are for diabetes. The rest are all weight loss. So there's a difference between like in the molecule that's in Ozempic that helps lower your A1C. And then there's a different molecule called semaglutide that is a byproduct of that helps your weight loss. So they've just isolated the weight loss part of it. And now... provided that they have no interest in helping people suffering from diabetes. They only have an interest in people.
Yeah. I mean, that's where the money is. That's
exactly
capitalism, baby.
Yeah. So, that's kind of where we're at currently. Just, being weary of all the competition. There's a gold rush right now. In our new format, let's quickly build a campaign, Caitlin, huh? So our campaign prompt. Yeah, so we're going to build a competitor to Ozempic, but we're going to directly promote our weight loss aspect of the product. And really the goal of this campaign is to destigmatize people that use weight loss products like our product so they can feel more comfortable and safe and become advocates for us.
Gosh,
so we don't care about the supply.
I'm just going to throw a wrench in this already. Like, do you think that I feel like Khloe Kardashian did the heavy lifting for us and Oprah, who are both came out and said, oh, yeah, we use Ozempic. No big deal. Like, do you think that they've done the destigmatizing for us?
I think the dam is maybe cracking, but almost like you said, it's still a kept secret. Like other people are like, no, hiking, food, like fasting. Like, there's still like that kind of stigma to like, I don't want people to know that I'm using this because like you said, Chelsea Handler makes jokes about it. Like you and I hear about it in joke format. Like people, they're using Ozempic. How do we create a product similar to this that really destigmatizes this?
And did you come across this in your research called it's a phenomenon called Ozempic face?
No, I didn't.
So
what is it?
It's like celebrities looking very, very gaunt. Like their cheekbones, like their fat in their face has just literally disappeared. So they look older and they look gaunt and just like, well, allegedly, like, you know, of course, with social media, it's just like, oh, this person has Ozempic face. But really, it could be a number of things. You know, we don't actually know if they're doing whatever it is. I kind of am saying that just because if we are creating a competitor, we go after all the negative things that Ozempic can do for you. So maybe injecting yourselves with unnecessary chemicals. Definitely go the organic, sustainable route. Somehow
the pharmaceutical industry going organic. Yeah,
we got this from the lizards. We milked the lizard. But then, of course, PETA might come after us. But
No. We could say it was like lab manufactured, but this is the same molecule that occurs naturally in the Gila lizard, which can. So maybe we go full on. Like this is a naturally occurring, because I don't think any of them are doing that. Like this is a naturally occurring molecule. We've grown it. We've extracted it. We've been able to replicate it in a lab. It's all well made, and you can use it to. The same way a lizard uses it.
And we call it the name brand. Done. Gila. That's the brand.
Gila. I'm into that. I like that better than Sextatonophon or whatever the fucking others.
Yeah, we make it super marketable. You know, even though we're a pharmaceutical company, we label it all green. Make sure people understand. It's organic.
That's a great way to destigmatize it, though, is like this is a naturally occurring chemical.
Yeah,
like, please. Oh, well done, Caitlin.
And it's like a
I
vitamin.
I thought this was going to be tricky for
us. Oh, pack it up in like a vitamin thing where it's just like, oh, pop one of these with your fish oil in the morning or your vitamin
so
C.
We would have to make ours ingestible, not
it feels a little bit more organic if we do. Or maybe a powder or something. But yeah, let's get rid of the needle.
Yeah,
let's get rid of the needle.
Yeah. Yeah, just kind of like pack that molecule into some kind of powder or something like that. Okay. Yeah,
put it in
like
a little
that.
Vitamin
That's the
thing.
Science base. Mm-hmm. That's the packaging. Like make it feel like you're taking your gummies and you're taking your Gila.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's going to help you.
Your Gila.
Ooh.
I almost didn't even notice you said that.
right. It already works.
It
it's
flows.
A good call. I thought this was going to be tricky for us. All right. So we got our messaging tactics. And I think I think we built the campaign. Is there any specific channels? Do we go? Here's my question to you. Do we go the same route as pharmaceuticals where we do like TV ads? Because at the end of the day, probably the FDA, it's going to have to be prescribed. Like we're not going to be able to just give it over the counter.
Oh, you
right?
think?
Because it's not to that. I just think the industry's not to that point yet. Mm. You know, like we would still need to get people to ask for
ask their
Gila.
Doctor.
We would still. So do we do. My question to you, as a new age pharmaceutical brand that you and I just created in the last 5 minutes, do we go the same route and just compete directly against other pharmaceutical companies running TV ads, or do we try something new?
Yeah,
because let me add in this layer before you go social media is I checked Ozempic has a page, an Instagram page, has one post. 14,000, 15,000 followers, but it has one post that's just the medical information of Ozempic. They don't fuck with social media.
Yeah, why would you need to?
So as Gila, what do we do? Do we just say fuck it and just try to get people and just kind of like highlight happy people playing in the park and they take their daily gila, or do we go the same route with TV commercial ads? Do we try something new? What are your thoughts on like the channels that we're going after?
Yeah, it's interesting because if we do go the same route as other pharmaceutical companies, you're putting something out there that is different. And so it would be more eye-catching and attention-grabbing if we did it just slightly different than the rest of them. But then on the other hand, I'm like, well, what if we went like the AG1 route where it's like, yeah, we just fucking doubled. You know what AG1 is?
Yeah.
Oh, they're awful. Greens. They're fucking awful. Yeah. Like how much they've just infiltrated everybody's newsfeed, going that route and just like, again, doubling down on all these like pseudo influencers saying, yeah, I just popped this. On a daily basis.
But they would need a prescription. Yeah, they would need a prescription. Right?
Yeah, I
but
think the prescription could, thing is holding me up that. A little bit. I don't know.
Here's my comeback. Yeah, that's a great call. I think, to your point, I think if we're running a new company, we go directly against Ozempic and these other pharmaceutical companies. Run TV ads. But to your point, it's like we can almost like leverage everybody knowing what Ozempic is or it coming into the lexicon. So we don't need to explain what it is, but we can just highlight the differences. So it's almost can... An Ozempic ad runs and then a Gila ad runs.
Yeah,
and right after we can like match them, try to match them one for one on their media spend. So then it's like, oh yeah. Oh wait, that was Ozempic for diabetes. This is for like an ingestible for weight loss that does the same thing. Like we can almost try to like follow them up and go tit for tat.
And we could say we've stripped out all of the chemicals that you're going to get with that injectable. Also, I was thinking while you're talking is like product placement in TV shows and just everywhere. I mean, they're probably going to, if they haven't already, like comedy movies, they're going to talk about Ozempic soon. So we just double down on that product placement everywhere. Everyone has to know Gila, and it has to be less like advertising. I think we said it earlier, less advertising, more word of mouth. And word of mouth by way of product placement in movies, TVs, shows, commercials, all that good stuff.
I think that's a great call. I think to layer this in, if we're building the company as well, why not release just a vitamin alongside this particular product?
Ooh.
So then we kind of leverage like the vitamin. So our brand gets worked into the vitamin aspect and it's like, oh, your daily Gila vitamin that has all of these natural things. By the way, you can get a prescription for Gila, you know, weight or whatever we want to call it, the variation. Yeah. And then we already have the brand recognition.
I think that's
a good call.
Done.
Who's our demographic? You don't want to say 30-year-old women, do you?
I know. You're working your mind to
for
it
somebody
has to be 30-year-old
other
women.
Than you. Other than you. Yeah, I agree. They're the ones buying this shit. Like
30 to 50-year-old women.
They're the ones buying it. I don't think we try to change it. I don't think we go younger. I don't think we go older. It's like that's the market. You know, it's like,
you know what else we could do. We could release, this is good. We could release a second product that is geared towards men and working out. So we inject a little bit of like C4,
like
creatine
in
there.
Like protein.
Yeah, and it's like kickstart your workout. And so that's the second product. The branding's all black and neon.
Yeah, you got it in your head.
And then Gila is like a little softer.
Well, it's all under the Gila brand, but then we have like Gila like black, and then it's like, you know, the. If any scientists are listening and you can make these products, we will gladly be the marketers and run the shit and make lots
I was going
to
say we will gladly take the I thought you were going to say we will gladly take these off of your hands. I was like, where's the money going to come from?
No. We'll partner with the scientists. No. Come in, you make it, we'll sell it. We already have the strategy, clearly.
Done.
Cool. I think that's a great campaign. Look out for Gila on your shelves coming in years to come. Just a quick question as we sign off, Caitlin. Does this Ozempic fad or this Ozempic trend make you feel better about society or worse about society? Better or worse? Do you think we're better off or worse off?
Ozempic could not sway my decision about society.
Do you think it moves us in a general direction?
No.
Is it a good manipulation or a bad manipulation?
I think it's just another product. on the shelves. Nah. I think it's just another legging company.
Fair enough. I think what that's do you a think? Good answer. Just like, yeah, I'm kind of with you, but I'm also, it just makes me realize that we need as a society an actual body positivity movement. There's something that feels hollow when brands do it. They're pushing it and they're pushing it and they're pushing it. And to me, it just makes me a little sad that it hasn't moved the needle, right? Like it hasn't, particularly with women.
Let me ask, why do you feel strongly about this?
You know, I feel strongly because I do feel like women it's unjust pressure that they're put on for their body. And it's hard. It's got to be hard. I just feel for them, like that kind of pressure on how you look, your appearance, over many things that you can't control, you know, mm-hmm. like some people are just naturally a little curvier, some people, you know, the body mm-hmm. type thing, like mm-hmm. there's things that are just completely out of your control, but then there's this standardized one look is the pretty look, mm-hmm. and to be perfectly honest with you, I think some of it's self-inflicted rather than the male gaze doing that. But there is a big part of it that's just like the male gaze, like men find this attractive. And I just feel for women. And I just wish that this body positivity movement, it was so encouraging. I just wish it had more of a real effect, that as soon as there was a fast track or a way to skip it or a way to beat that, that the demand has been unreal. It makes me sad a little bit. It just makes me sad.
Well, also maybe like instead of your appearance weighing you down, if you feel comfortable in your own skin, or if we had these advertising campaigns to make us feel comfortable in our own skin, instead of constantly thinking about how we look and what shape our body is, you can like use that brain power and that bandwidth to enjoy something else in your day, enjoy your life,
completely agree,
use it to work towards something else instead of we're just bogged down by these unnecessary expectations. So maybe that's a good way to summarize it.
Yeah, no, that's a really good way. And I think for me, you just triggered something in my head. Like for every Dove commercial, there's 4,000 butt models on Instagram.
Yeah,
you know, like it's the scale and the balance is still not there. Yeah. And it just kind of makes me sad.
I go back to this quote that's like, my looks are the least interesting thing about me. And if we can just like carry that with us and truly believe it, imagine like the difference that could be made in all aspects. Like if nobody was really concerned with the way they looked.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that's a good way to sign off. Is there, I think we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
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 We'll be back. All right. Bye.
See ya. For those of you with short attention spans, we have social channels that play clips, give updates, and add some fun to your feed. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Manipulating the Masses Pod. That's at Manipulating the Masses Pod. And if you've enjoyed the show, be sure to leave us a 5-star review, as this helps us manipulate the algorithm to find new listeners like you. Thank you, and stay sane, people.